Coal miners are protesting in southeastern Kentucky after getting laid off earlier this month and then having their paychecks bounce. It's a symbolic moment in a declining industry that still holds a place of importance in this country's mythology and in politicians' talking points. On July 1st, the West Virginia-based mining company Black Jewel filed for bankruptcy and laid off more than 1,000 workers in its eastern division across Appalachia. Before the bankruptcy, Black Jewel was the sixth largest coal producer in the country. But many workers still haven't received their last paycheck, so on Monday, some miners in Cumberland took matters into their own hands and organized a protest. They set up camp on the train tracks and have been preventing coal trains from getting in and out of the plant near the town. Nathan Brown is the owner of the restaurant John Evan Jack's in Corbin, Kentucky. And on Tuesday, he decided to lend his support.
We have a mobile food truck, and we just took it there. So we fried them up some catfish and cheeseburgers, you know, just to be able to give them a hot meal fresh off the grill and food fresh out of the fryer.
Nathan was able to see firsthand just how these miners have been affected by the bankruptcy.
You know, talking to the families, you know, I talked to one guy, he had multiple kids, and his biggest concern was, you know, school starting back next week. You know, what are we going to do? How am I going to buy supplies and all that stuff? And his little boy running around playing on the train tracks while they're playing cornhole on the train tracks. It was just, that was probably the most powerful image I've ever saw in my life.
So far, the protesters have said they aren't going anywhere until they get paid. But the fate of over 1,000 workers and of this coal company remains unclear. Joining me now are two journalists from the Ohio Valley Resource News Collaboration. Sydney Bowles is a reporter with WMMT in eastern Kentucky covering economic transition. Sydney, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we also have Brittany Patterson, energy and environment reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Great to have you on, Brittany.
Glad to be here.
So, Brittany, let's start with you. Why did Black Jewel suddenly file for bankruptcy?
So on July 1st, the company filed for bankruptcy, and basically they cited adverse market conditions, which is something that we've been hearing from a lot of coal companies in recent years that have filed for bankruptcy. Basically, the company said that, you know, as the demand for coal-fired electricity has dropped, and the prices of renewable energy and natural gas have become less expensive, the economics for coal have been harder to make work.
And so when were the workers last paid, Brittany?
So workers have not received their last paycheck. Those were issued on the Friday in June before the July 1st bankruptcy. For our eastern employees in Appalachia, the workers were issued paper paychecks, and those have subsequently not been allowed to be cashed. For the western employees in Wyoming, because we should note this company has mines in both Wyoming and Kentucky, West Virginia, and Virginia, in Wyoming, those workers were issued money orders. There was a snafu with those, but most of those have now been cashed.
And Sydney, you've been reporting from the protests. Give us a sense of what it's looked like over the past few days. What's the mood there among the protesters?
Sure. So this started pretty organically Monday morning with five miners getting up right in front of a coal train to prevent that train from leaving the washing plant. Their intention was basically, you know, to keep the coal from leaving the station until they got their paycheck. They have since grown from a group of five to sometimes upwards of 100, a rotating cast of miners and supporters from all across the community. And folks have really shown up to bring food, even porta potties, tents, picnic tables, all kinds of snacks. It's really been incredible to watch members from all across the community, all across the political spectrum show up to support these guys. But underneath it all, there's still a real anger and a real commitment to stay on these railroad tracks until they get the money for work that they've already done.
Brittany, during President Trump's campaign and beyond, once he was elected president, he's championed the coal industry.
And you watch what happens. If I win, we're going to bring those miners back. You're going to be so proud of your president. You're going to be so proud of your country.
Clean, beautiful West Virginia coal. We love it.
We are back. The coal industry is back.
Does that track with the overall health of the industry so far?
So President Trump and the Trump administration have really tried to help the coal industry by easing regulations, namely through the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. We've seen rollbacks and replacements of a lot of different coal-related regulations. But the federal data show that coal production is at an all-time low and is projected to continue to keep falling. Similarly, we had fewer miners working last year than we did in the last year of the Obama administration. So in the thermal coal market, that's coal that's used in electric utilities and at power plants, we've definitely seen that continue to drop. Here in West Virginia, we have seen a little uptick in metallurgical coal. That's coal that's mined to make steel. But those upticks have been mostly driven by exports abroad and mostly to China and Asian countries. So largely speaking, no, the regulatory rollbacks that the administration has tried to do have not really helped the industry here in Appalachia.
And Brittany, I'm wondering if that also has influenced just not just this protest alone, but the broader picture of the lives of coal miners in the region since the Trump administration took over. I mean, have their lives gotten better? And is there a sense that, I'm not going to assume that all of these folks voted for the president, but it seemed like an important base for the president. And I'm wondering if that could potentially affect his support among this group in 2020.
It's a little bit of a challenging question to answer. On the one hand, certainly some miners, especially those working in these met coal mines, may have gone back to work over the last few years. On the other hand, you know, all the regulatory rollbacks in the world can't really change the underlying economics that are affecting the coal industry. And that is that natural gas has become very cheap and renewable energy, solar and wind, that continues to fall. And many utility customers continue to ask those utilities to put on renewable energy and cheaper forms of electricity. And that just can't compete with coal. And so I think in some ways you hear reaction from miners feeling a little bit like there's only so much the president can do. And on the other hand, we haven't seen resources for things like job retraining increase here in the region.
And Sydney, last night in the Democratic debate, Jay Inslee, one of the candidates, echoed what a lot of folks talking about climate change have said, which is that we need to get rid of coal altogether.
We cannot work this out. The time is up. Our house is on fire. We have to stop using coal in 10 years. And we need a president to do it or it won't get done. Get off coal. Save this country and the planet. That's what I'm for.
That is something that would obviously have a severe impact on this community. What do workers in this industry think about that? And do they see any alternatives in when they look at their future?
I will say there's a broad spectrum among miners that I've spoken to, both at this protest and in other places across the region. Some folks really do feel that, you know, going back generations, coal has really been the only industry that has supported this part of the country, that has allowed families and communities here to flourish. And there's a real fear of what might happen when coal is no longer a strong enough economy to drive these communities. But at the same time, I will say there is a growing understanding that there may need to be a diversification of the economy. Many former miners and even some current miners are interested in renewable energy jobs and are thinking about ways to find other forms of work that can build on their skill sets to help create a more diverse economy here.
And if you could expand a little bit on that, I mean, Sydney, I'm wondering what the history of Black Jewel is in the region and also just the culture of mining and coal mining in particular in the region and even across the country. It sort of seems like it's a big part of our cultural mythology in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing I'll say is that there's a real sense of pride among miners who are working in the coal industry. Many of these folks are third or fourth or fifth generation coal miners, and there's a sense that it runs in their blood. It's hard work. It takes a lot of skill, and miners feel really, really proud of doing this hard work to take care of their families. But over the course of history, mining has also taken a real toll on communities here, both in terms of miners' health through the black lung epidemic and accidents in the mine as well, an environmental toll with, mine runoff and other sorts of challenges with surface mining and underground mining here too. So I think there is an understanding that mining comes with a cost. So over the course of history, miners have banded together to stand up to the companies that they work for and to the government to ask for fair wages, to ask for safer working conditions. Actually, Harlan County, where these protests are taking place, was the site of bloody mine wars back in the 1930s. And actually, the anniversary of the 1973-74 Harlan miner strike was just last week. So there is a long history in this region of miners understanding the cost of the work that they're doing and working hard as a community to try and make working conditions a little better.
Brittany, have Appalachian states been able to attract other industries? And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I'd love to drill down a little bit more, like renewable energy and beyond that might be able to replace some of the losses here in terms of the coal industry.
Yeah, I would say, largely speaking, our policymakers have not got on board with putting policies in place that would make renewable energy a really viable and vibrant option here in Appalachia. For example, both West Virginia and Kentucky do not have renewable portfolio standards. Those are basically standards that set a target for how much renewable energy utilities should produce. Similarly, while Ohio has an renewable portfolio standard, a bill passed last month really guts it. And so we see here that not necessarily our policymakers have put into place the policies that would bring in renewable energy and make it easy for large companies to attract. And I think that's important because if you want an Amazon, even an Amazon sort of packing center or any of these big companies, they all have renewable energy mandates. And if they can't get that energy, then it makes it a harder sell to get them to come here.
And I'm curious, Brittany, what has Black Jewel said about the protesters? Have they responded?
We haven't seen a lot of direct response to the protesters. I will say during the entire bankruptcy proceedings that have occurred over the last month, the lawyers representing the company have expressed their sympathies and have sort of repeatedly said that they understand that miners are hurting. Similarly, the judge in the case has also really expressed a lot of concern about this. But at this point, you know, the company says it doesn't have the money to pay these owed wages. And we're talking about nearly $11.8 million in payroll and taxes. Then that's just owed to employees in Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. So it's a pretty significant amount of money that the company would need to come up with. And at this point, considering the chaos that has been this bankruptcy, the company says they just can't make that happen right now.
Sydney, when you hear that and you are on the ground talking to protesters and folks who have not been paid, what's your sense of where this goes next, for them at least?
Well, the goal at this point is for Black Jewel to use money from sales of mines, which is actually scheduled to happen today, to pay these miners' wages that they're owed. That may or may not happen. That's kind of the plan at this point. So that may determine what happens next with this protest. But no matter what time of day I talk to miners who are camped out on these tracks, no matter what mood they're in, the sentiment is the same. They're not moving until they get paid.
Sydney Bowles is a reporter for Ohio Valley Resource and WMMT in Eastern Kentucky. And Brittany Patterson is energy and environment reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the Ohio Valley Resource. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.